Have any deep ideas today, just a few short little ideas from the Sefer Das Kodisa. Let's try to do two very short topics. They're not small topics, they're major topics, but I don't have that much to say about it. Topic number one is what the issue of hitting your friend. Okay, scary stuff here, right? It says in the parasha, Rosho lo mesakes reyecha. What does it say over here in the pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu sees. Who does it see? Oh, so let's see. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, he goes out, Vayar b'sivloisam.
Vayar b'shmetri ma'kesha b'meecha.
You want to find the point? And Vayomer v'yetze b'yom ha'sheni, v'nei shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim, they were quarreling, Vayomer l'rosho, lomo sake re'echa. Why are you hitting your re'echa, your friend? Now, interestingly,
going to the definition of a friend or not?
So what is Rashi? Very good, excellent. That's a critical point that you have made. What does Rashi say? Rashi pasuk Yud-Gimel. Yud-Gimel says, and this is the pasuk Yud-Gimel, re'echa, rosha kimoscha. Why did Rashi have to say rosha kimoscha? So the truth is, lama sake. Now here are the issues. The issues are as follows. It really is coming to address exactly that question. Why indeed did he say the word reyacha? The first one is an interesting chazal. There's a quote from Mamori Chazal. Chazal said that a person, he slaps his friend in the face, on the cheeks, he has no chelek l'olam haba. Is that what it says? Sigmar Mesech Sanhedrin, Ramar Bechanina Soiter. Lo'o shel Yisrael ki'ilu soiter lo'o shel Shechina. Person gives a frask. You take your hand and you wipe it across the face, the cheeks of your friend. It's as if you are kaviyachol chas v'shalom doing this to the Ribbono shel Olam. Now there are different ways Chazal tell a person you have no chelik in Olam Haba. Okay, there's no, your person's yoreid. Sometimes Chazal say you do this, you will be yoreid to the Sheol Tachtis. You'll go to Gehenim. But eventually you'll come to Elam Haba. Or Ein Lechelik Le'Elam Haba. Or Oslite Nesadin. There are many different expressions Chazal used to express their what will happen to the person. This is unique. This is one of a kind. Where it says, Ki'ilu lo'o, Ki'ilu soiter, as if he has given a smack. The cheeks shall shechina. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei to prove this point. So obviously this is in a category that's very unique. Is this worse than Ein Lechelik L'Olam Haba? It's like Ein Lechelik L'Olam Haba, that's a given. A person with Rachmana Litzlan go and Kaviyachal do this to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is there even a Hava Amina? He's an Olam Haba person. It's one thing, you know, a person is not very, oh, so you have no Chelik L'Olam Haba. We'll put you somewhere else. Here in Chazal just say, what you have done, the sin speaks for itself. It's a very unique expression, which it doesn't explain. He just says that it's very rare, it's very unique, and it requires explanation to understand in the spectrum of how bad the Avera, a person with different types of Averas, how severe the Avera is. This obviously is a very severe Avera. Why? Obviously because a person, a human being, is created in the Tselem Elohim, in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for one person to be Mevaze, another human being, in such a despicable way, this is something that blows the mind. It's one thing we know, a chavola, sugis, all over Shas, of Nesik, a chavil b'chaveira. Two people get into a fight, one person hits the other person, he causes him damage, he wounds him, he's injured. Blood comes out. Blood does not come out. Okay, that's one issue. But the issue, but the issue of being soiter is something which is very, very frightening. That is the bush. So mainly that's besides the point. That's a given. In the Gemara is Nezek, Tsar, Sheves, Ripui, and Boishas. Besides the Boishas, besides the embarrassment, Chazal are giving you Divrei Agoda to emphasize the severity of the sin. It's Ki'ilu Soiter Lohoi Shel Shechina. Now before we go further, that's one of them everyone should just mention as a side, but everyone knows that when Rav Adi Yosef, Zeichat Tzadik Levracha, when you came to visit him, the biggest covet you can get is if he will give you a frask. Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it was. They used to go, and he used to go, and people would come ask him questions. And if he liked you, if he liked you, he gave you, like he said, he gave you a little frask. And sometimes he gave a manish. He really whipped you. When his son, he was nifted not long after his son. What's his name? What's his first name? The current chief rabbi, Sardic chief rabbi, is today. What's his first name? Yitzchak Yosef, and Rabbi Lau's son,
David
Lau. So they became chief rabbis at the same time. The elections. They became chief rabbi at the same time. One the Ashkenazic rabbi. One is the Sardic rabbi. There's a very nice video I remember seeing online. Is where David Lau, Rabbi David Lau, came to Rabbi Avadi Yosef for a bracha after he was elected as chief Ashkenazic rabbi. So he comes in, and Rav Avadi Yosef, I'm sure, knew very, very well, was very close with his father. His father, Rabbi Shol Meir Lau, was a chief rabbi Ashraf for many, many years, and now he's a world renowned personality. So he came into him, the video he came into, he was talking to him, he goes, you were zeichet to be Rosh HaMemshah, what's it called, the Rav?
Rav
Haroshi. Kibini, just like my son. My son was elected to be the chief sire, the chief rabbi of Israel. Kibini. And he gave such a frask. And yeah, Kibini. Okay, in fact, it's fact that when he was not feeling well, Seif Yomov, when he was not feeling well, and there was the Gaboyim, when you would come in to meet him, Mamish would say this to people, listen, the Rav, the Maran. The Maran today is not feeling well. Do not be insulted if he does not give you a frask. Really, that's what it says. So it's interesting. Mitzad Echad, I don't know how to reconcile this. You see, in our times, it's an expression of endearment sometimes. It's like a love. It's an endearment. It's a beautiful expression of love when you go and you give someone a tap on their face. Yet, that same love tap, when it's done in a derogatory term, Chazal used the most extreme expression. Halay davar, you have mamish mikotze el akotze. It's a beautiful expression of love, but yet, to the other extreme, it's a davar chomer ad moed.
Now, when a woman slaps a guy for being too fair.
Okay, now the next issue is, and this is a very interesting halachic issue. This is the main thrust. If a person hits back, let's not talk about Rosh Lomis Sake Esrayecha. What happens if you hit back? And when you hit back, you cause the person harm. Someone comes to you and hits you. So I'm going to take it sitting down. I hit him back, and you get into a fist fight. And when the day is over, both people are injured, and both people are coming to claim monetary damage. I'm out of work for 2 weeks because he punched me, because he beat me up, and I can't work. Is the person who hit the other person back responsible to pay? So you'll say self-defense, right? So there's no doubt about it. Anything that happens due to self-defense that you need to do, you need to punch the person, you need to take even preemptive measures to hit a person in self-defense or to prevent yourself from harm, is a davar poshut ad me'od that you do not have to pay one penny in bezdin for hitting your friend. Question is, it's not self-defense. It's just what's called in the pasuk ki yecham levavai. Person hits you, you're insulted. Yes. It's a human natural reaction to respond and to hit back. Now, I don't know what American law is. I would imagine in America, if you hit someone back, if someone hits you, and
that's self-defense.
No, not self-defense. That was my words of Hakdama. If it's self-defense, a guy is hitting you, if he hits me once, hit me twice, hit me three times, he'll kill me. I have no choice but to fight back. It's poshut. There's nothing to talk about. Anything that you do to hit in self-defense, you have there's no responsibility. You have to construct a case. I don't know how to construct a case. It's a theoretical idea. And this is what he talks about in great length here. Theoretical case. Someone hits you, and it's not a matter of self-defense. There's no question about it. I don't need to hit him back to protect myself from more harm. I just go, you hit me, boom, I hit you. It's just a natural jerk reaction. You hit, are you, and when you hit him, boy, do you do a job on him? You put him in the hospital. Hospital bills, millions of dollars. Are you responsible? So believe it or not, according to halacha, I can't tell you the bottom line. Can't tell you the bottom line of it because I can't. I'm not so smart to figure out everything it says over here. You look up all the sources and understand this. You pretty much you're exempt. Halacha, it's an amazing concept. Halacha recognizes to a certain degree in the limited period of time a person is expected, it's human nature for a person to respond in a certain way when he's under attack. There, and at kidei kach, you have no monetary obligation to pay damages. Yeah.
Wasn't there a case in Eretz Yisrael a couple of weeks ago, months ago, that this kid killed, killed the Arab...
Terrorist.
There was a teenager, a Palestinian teenager, smacked a soldier. The Israeli all worked up. Excellent example. Right, I should have really prepared. I tied the two together. Excellent example. So that was a very big explosion. What happened in Israel? I don't know the details.
She's arrested. Her mother's arrested.
Oh, but now she's arrested.
Yes.
But in the beginning, there was a lot of confusion. It's a very... Ramesh comes out alive. There was a lot of confusion in Israel what to do in this situation. Let's review the case. What happened? I don't remember the details. You'll help me with the details. There was an Israeli... There were a group of Israeli soldiers going on patrol. Where was it? In Gaza?
No,
where?
Yerushalayim?
Okay. Doesn't make a difference. Fine. Wherever it was. Yes. They were on patrol. They were dressed in full gear. Body armor.
Yes.
Helmet.
Yes.
Rifles. Enough artillery. They can blow up the whole place away. Right? They're marching there. They were going around there in their jeep. And you see what they look like. They look like out of a movie. And then there's this little girl, a Palestinian girl.
Not so little, she's tall, a teenager.
And with chutzpah, she comes up to the soldier and she engages him in a conversation. Right? I didn't pay much attention to this. Some kind of conversation, engaged him in the conversation. And then at some point in time, she goes and she whacks him. She whacks the soldier. Okay, this girl, which is nothing, she's just a symbol. And the soldiers, they're all dressed in his body army with grenades. Who knows what he has on his body? Who knows what he has? What am I going to do? What? So he's not going to overreact and go take out his gun and kill her. That he's not going to do. Baruch Hashem, he didn't do that. Then World War III would have broken out. But he went and he beat her up. Okay, something like that. What did he do to her? He assaulted her.
He stood down.
Oh yeah. Okay, I don't remember that. I'm sorry. I don't remember. I'm confusing different cases.
What? She does it all the time. She did, 3 years ago, she bit a soldier. Also, did.
Same girl.
Yeah.
Same girl.
They didn't react.
Okay, so they didn't react. So the question was, society. This became a big hot topic in the news. I didn't follow this. Had I known, I would have prepared that. We're going to review the case to relate this to what we learned over here. So society, Israeli society, became a big hot issue in the news. What would be the proper reaction? She goes, she hits him, she assaults him. She's not dangerous, obviously. She's not. We don't assume. We don't know. Who knows? We don't know. How do you deal with this? If he's going to go and punch her back, the whole world will scream, "How dare you! Look at you! You're a soldier with a helmet and armor and guns. How dare you! She's just a teenager. She's a pathetic person." But on the other hand, what do you expect? He adds to the mix. A human being. This is what he says over here. He brings places that say this, and it's nogel lahalacha. Israel is not a Torah state. It's a state of Torah Jews, but the laws are not the laws of the Torah. Okay. What is the proper response? So in Israel, they say, "Listen, you're a soldier. You have to rachmanas." Yeah. No one really has a good answer. Everyone is grappling with what to do. Now, because it became such a hot issue in the media, they arrested her and her family, and they're going to let her know, "You don't do this." V'chulu v'chulu. But what is a proper response in halacha? What would have been in halacha if the soldier would have went and beat her up? Would have punched her in the face? And would have sent her to the hospital? In halacha, would the soldier have been considered to have overreacted? Overreacted? And the soldier should be disciplined and punished and taken off and lose his pension, whatever he's going supposed to get from his service to the Israeli state? What's the halacha? So he says here very clearly that it's clear as day in halacha in the Pais game. No. A person is allowed a small amount of leeway to react to attack. Even if the reaction is not is not self-defense. In other words, what he's saying over here is, if I'm not making mistaken, again, I'm telling you, I'm just, everything is, nothing is the bottom line. The other thing has to be discussed, but it's clearly, it does bring this out. It's something called, the principle in the Pasuk called, Kiyecham Levavo. It's a Pasuk in the Torah that if a person acts out of heat, his heart is tzitzed because he's under attack. The Torah allows this amazing idea, which I think is totally foreign to the secular world, and it's part of the problem of us against them, or them against us in what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, is a person is allowed to react in an aggressive way when he's under attack for a limited amount of time. So if someone punches you, and you're just a kid, you don't even have enough strength in your fist to go and to cause me harm, I'm insulted. I am allowed to be insulted. I'm the authority here. I am the soldier. I'm here to protect you, not just the Jews. I'm here to protect everyone over here. I have a right to be insulted, what you have done to me in front of everyone else. I'm allowed to punch you back. One time. Maybe two times. And if I cause you, and if you go get hurt and you go to the hospital, too bad for you. Oh, but it wasn't self-defense. So what? There's something called human nature. And this is captured in a principle called Kiyecham Levavo. Where do you draw the line? Oh, okay. Welcome to
reality.
But in the case that you started out with, the way I understood it, the offense was to the tzelem elokim of the person.
That's smacking in the face. Doing two different things.
And here, you're talking about the soldier as symbolizing the honor of the state.
Okay.
So, really,
you want to say the same thing. It's the same thing. Is it a parallel, not a parallel? Okay, that's all the big question.
Right.
But the only point I want to make over here is we have this principle called Kiyecham Levavo, which allows in halacha a person to react in a restrained, limited fashion to attack. And there's leeway. I don't have to pay. Too bad for you. You smack me, I smack you back. You get hurt, too bad for you. You brought it upon yourself. But what do you mean? It wasn't in self-defense. A person is not obligated to take abuse. He quotes, you want to be from the tzaddikim, hanelavim, v'loy olvim, from the people who suffer insult in silence? What it says in Pirkei Avos? Beautiful. That's extra credit. That's extra credit, icing on the cake. That's for yechidei segula.
Right.
But the average person is not held to that standard, and you're allowed to express yourself. Wow, isn't that's a chiddush to me. Because I was always under the assumption, hanelavim v'loy olvim is a requirement for every single person. If someone smacks you, you're mechoyev to take the abuse. If you're not a threat to me, you're just a little kid. I have this sometimes. This is certainly mechutzafim. They go and they do crazy things. I just have no choice but to accept the abuse. You accept the abuse, the zehu, and you look the other way. Hanelav le'ov, that's the halacha. And if I lift my finger, I'm guilty. It's not true. You're allowed to respond in a restrained, limited way. Ad kidei kach. You don't have to pay money for damages. Okay, obviously this probably is a slippery slope. Okay, because once you give a person to react, oh, one punch, another punch, another punch. I remember many years ago. There was a case. It was a scandal, and it wasn't my father. It was someone that was very close to my father, and he asked my father, is this reporter who was working for a Jewish newspaper? He wants to report about a certain thing that happened. So this reporter, I don't know why he had so much confidence in Allah in this fellow. He asked, what's the halacha? So he went around to many rabbanim to ask what the halacha is. He also ended up asking my father, this person, to go tell the reporter what the halacha was. And it seems that the consensus was, yes, you should report this. This is a problem, but only report it once. Report what happened, make an article, write up all the greasy lashon hara, no follow-up articles. People have to know what's going on. There's a to'eles. And the consensus of the Rabbanim was, yes, publish it, go ahead, make it public. The person was given many chances to stand down, to repent, to stand down. and the person was stubborn like a mule. Did not want, and they warned him, you're not going to, we're going to go public. The question was, should we really go public? Is it Lashon Hara, now Lashon Hara? What kind of aveir is it really? And the consensus was, I eavesdropped in the conversation, maybe I shouldn't have, is yes, publish, but only one time. Only one time, don't have any follow-up articles, because that already is overdoing it. And if you have to understand, you can make one article, there's going to be a volley. There's going to be a what response. So what was the end? He published the article, and then he published another article, and he ended up publishing 7 articles 7 weeks in a row. So obviously what happened? He lost control. Lost control. You give a person permission to do a little bit, it's the slippery slope. Once you start, it's very hard to restrain yourself and not respond. So you see, obviously, that this halacha, this concept that a person is allowed, ki yecham levava, you're allowed to respond, is not so simple. You've got to be very, very careful in how far you allow it to go. He does a very interesting story over here, a very funny story. I tell you two stories. One thing is very funny, one is not for the world. Serious, serious. He talks about a person. He went and he left his wife. He had a couple of children. And then, let's say he had 3 children. And then he decided he needs to go make a parnasa somewhere overseas. And he went overseas and he was not able to come back for many years. That's what happened. Ma'ishay ka'achaya. In the meantime, his wife was abandoned. It was like an aguna almost. He had with her already at that point 3 children. He didn't realize that she was pregnant with the 4th child when he left her. And she just became pregnant, maybe even the night before. And he went overseas. And he went, and then he got stuck there. Something happened to him, and he fell into a blot or whatever. And he did not come back for many, many years. He came back many, many years. He walks into the house, and he sees this child. It's not his. I only have 3 children. What's this little kid here doing here? He wasn't so little already. He was already was a toddler, already bigger. So now he was a real hothead. And this is before there was any law and order, like the real Wild West. He was about to take out his weapon, his sword, and kill his wife and the child. Because he thought for sure his wife was Mizana. How do you have a child? I'm away for a couple of years, and you have a child? I never gave you a get. And this child's illegitimate. So he was about to take his sword and kill her and kill the child. He was going to do it. And then he remembered, so his father told him, patience, patience, when you get hot-headed. Ki yecham levavai. Take a break for 6 hours. Calm down. Calm down for 6 hours. And sure enough, in those 6 hours, he discovered really with his child that she was pregnant when he left her. So it goes to show, when you get carried away, even though it's a natural reaction to something, you got to be very, very careful. Yeah?
There's a comparable perush like that in the Geras HaRamban.
Yeah.
To saying that when you get for hits,
Take a break. Time to cool off. Cool down period.
I'd just like to say that in the public school system, there's a very, very big issue of bullying.
Yes.
There's a very, very big
only
issue.
The public school? Only public schools?
Well,
in the from schools?
Well, I was in the public school, and I don't think they would allow the child to hit back.
Anything. Zero.
I think you have to tell an adult.
Well, children are different, obviously. Children don't have the ability to know when to stop.
Well, that's what
certainly
have people slapping each other in the face and everything. I mean, you know,
you got to stop right away, right? Yeah. I know. It's a shocking thing. It's a shocking thing. Obviously, we don't do this in practice. In practice today, the demand is everyone has a demand to be min halel and hanelavim v'lo min olvim. I just want to bring to your attention, it's the chiddush to me, that in halacha it's true. We don't have a choice because we don't know how to restrain ourselves, and there's a slippery slope. But just to be aware that the Torah was lo nidna Torah lemalachei hasharis, and if a person is under attack, there's an expectation. It's natural. It's healthy to respond, to be offended, and to respond. After attack, you're exempt. The last thing, just listen to Dvar Musar. He quotes over here. I think this beautiful thing is, I never knew this. How did the Musar movement of Rabbi Shol Salanter begin? Today, it used to be that the Litvaks, the Ashkenazim, were all part of the Musar movement. The Musar movement is for Yechidim. Who can handle the idea of Musar? Who is the founder of the Musar movement? Rabbi Shol Salanter. How did it begin? Moshe Rabbeinu over here says, Ochein noida ha-davar. Moshe must have been from the Musar. And noida, now I realize, Loma sake esreyecha, what's going on over here? You're fighting with each other. Now I understand, Rashi says, why they are deserving of galus, why they are deserving to the tzara of Vayar of Loisam, the terrible tzaras of galus. So he says the very fascinating story. What happened was there was a shoemaker. A shoemaker that was destitute, dirt poor, and he worked in the shuk with other shoemakers. And they lived a life of poverty, and they made shoes, and that was their life. One day, one of the shoemakers, he won the lottery. And he went, me'ashbois yodim evyon, he became a groisa gevir. And this shoemaker did not want to associate at all with his previous, with his comrades, with his chaverim from the good old days, from the market, the shoemaking market, where they all sat together and they made shoes and they all lived a life of poverty. And one thing let time passed. You know, he became wealthy. He learned how to behave when you're wealthy, and how to, what to do, what to eat, what to do, how to live. And life was very, very good for a very, very long time at the Kach, where he was Meshadech, his child, with a very well-respected family in the community. And Rabbi Shaul Salanter was living through this in the very beginning. For he knew when he was poor, he knew what happened. He grew up, he became established, Choshev, and now they made a Chasana. And the other shoemakers resented very much how he disassociated himself from his past and from his chaverim, who were still very, very poor, just barely making ends meet. And they made a chasana, so he made the chasana, and he came dressed the chasana in a beautiful suit, beautiful clothing, and the mechudin was there in a beautiful hall with food and music. And this other shoemaker wanted to take revenge for how he abandoned them and stayed away from them. So he comes to the chasana, and he has in his hand a shoe, an old, broken, dilapidated shoe. And right as they're coming down the chuppah, he runs up to me and says, "Can you tell me how much it cost to fix the shoe?" For the whole chasna hall. "I got a shoe. I know you're a shoemaker. Can you tell me how much it cost to fix the shoe?" He was mevazahim berabim by reminding everyone, you know, this guy was just like me, a poor schlep. He used to make shoes. And everyone was like, and the person says, so he fainted. He fainted out of busha. Rabbi Shaul Salanter was there. He was there. He was watching this, and he said, "Achein noida hadavar." Rabbi Shaul Salanter, from this parasha, he said, "Now I understand why we have so many problems in society. There's no mussar. If such a thing could happen, it means there's no chinuch in the generation. There's no one in the generation that is being mechanich the dar that such a thing like this should never happen. Number one, the one who became the big gevir should never have behaved the way he behaved, to completely disassociate with his chaver. And number two, just because this guy is a para adam doesn't mean you have to be a para adam and go be mevaz and berabim like you did. Go, how much does it cost to fix this broken shoe?" He said, "There's something fundamentally wrong with society if such a thing could happen from both ends. Achein noida hadavar." And that moment he decided he's going to establish the Mussar movement, which changed the world. Did it change the world? I don't know. Yeah. It could have been a lot worse. It's not so bad. But it's just as now he concludes, at least I'll tie it into this expansion. Okay, it's not bad. Amen.